Hello there, buckaroos. This is Ken Maynard. You know, I've got a whale of a story for you today. The funny thing about people, they spend most of their lives trying to make a few dollars, hoping to make a fortune. And yet, someone to offer them $1 million just like that, chances are they'd get so suspicious they wouldn't even take it. I'll tell you more about it in a minute.
From the tack room of Ken Maynard's Diamond K Ranch, we're bringing you stories of adventure, stories of circus life, fascinating transcribed tales of the Old West, where cowboys still follow the cattle trails, stories of rodeos and parades, colorful legends of the red man, hidden gold and buried treasure. The exciting tales from the Diamond K are told by Hollywood's champion of Western stars, internationally famous Ken Maynard. And say, buckaroos, do you like adventure? Do you like to go on treasure hunts with your friends and discover exciting things? Well, I'm going to tell you about a real treasure of adventure that you can discover for yourself, and you won't have to travel very far, only to the nearest mailbox. Now, I'm talking about the Diamond K record album of Western stories told by Ken Maynard. These stories are especially for you young buckaroos, and do you know why this album is such a treasure? Because it's made for you personally, and right on the record, you'll hear Ken call you by name. Now, just imagine Ken saying,
"Hello, Mary. How you doing, Willie?"
Or whatever your name is. It'll be your very own personalized record album. Each one is in beautiful color with pictures of Ken and Tarzan on the front of the album and on each of the two big 8-inch records, too. And these records aren't ordinary records, either. No siree. They're flexible, colorful, unbreakable, pure vinylite records. Made of expensive material. But don't worry. They're not expensively priced. You can get this complete album with the two Wild West stories and the personalized message from Ken by sending only a dollar to Records in care of this station. Be sure to include your name and address so Ken can call you by name personally. Your album will be mailed, postage paid, direct from Hollywood. Send today for your Diamond K record album. Now here's Ken.
Okay, Chuck. Now let's see, buckaroos. We were talking about $1 million. In fact, a couple of million. We're making a picture one time in the Big Bend country down in Texas, where the Rio Grande makes a big bend. That's how the section got its name. We were using a bunch of the local cowhands as extras. While the boys were reloading the cameras, we were just sitting around having a quick cup of coffee. Not far away was one of the Indians we were using in the picture, wrapped up in a blanket trying to get a bit of shut-eye. "Hey, that looks like Seminole Bill," said one of the cowhands, and all the boys started to laugh. "What's so funny about this Seminole Bill?" I asked. And then the boys told me one of the most interesting stories I've come across. Back in 1884, this was pretty wild country. Ranches in those days were about the size of some of our smaller eastern states. The Big Bend was all open country, being worked mostly by the Reagan boys, who were moving cattle down from the Pecos. Down in Brewster County was a place where the river could be forded. And since there were no barter inspectors, this ideal spot to drive cattle in from Mexico became known as Reagan's Canyon. The Southern Pacific Railroad had finished laying track into San Antone, and the small towns of Sanderson and Dryden became shipping points for the Reagan boys' cattle. They were pretty rough towns. Well, one time in Dryden, the Reagan boys hired a young Indian by the name of Seminole Bill. He was a colored boy. Now, I know most of you buckaroos will say, "Wait a minute, Ken. Everybody knows the Seminole Indians are down in the Everglades in Florida." And you'd be right in saying it. But before the government sent them to the Everglades, the Seminole Indians used to be in Oklahoma and Arkansas. Now the Seminoles, Creeks, Potawatomi Indians, all used to have slaves. When they were declared free, the slaves up and intermarried with the Indians, and that's how Seminole Bill happened to be a colored boy. Well, to get back to the story, the Reagans took on Seminole Bill as a ranch hand and sent him to work rounding up strays in Reagan Canyon. One night, the cowpokes around the campfire were matching stories, and Seminole Bill was sitting off, more or less by himself, studying a piece of stone he had in his fingers. "What do you have there, gold?" yelled one of the cowhands. All the boys broke into laughter, but Bill was mighty serious. "Him gold, all right," he said. "Mighty rich, too." "Who ever heard of gold in these parts?" said one of the pokes. But Seminole Bill was right serious. "I wasn't prospecting," he said. "I was hunting strays this afternoon across the river. It was about sundown, I saw something gleaming down under the water in the canyon. The place was covered with this stuff. It's gold, all right. Take a look for yourself." But the boys just laughed him down and wouldn't even take a look at the stone Bill held in his outstretched hand. Next evening, Seminole Bill and Lee Reagan were just across the river on the Mexican side hunting strays. Sun was just starting down the hill, and Lee and the Indian had just pulled up on a little rise to shift saddles. Seminole Bill hesitated for a while, then got up the courage to speak. Boss Lee, he said, remember that gold I was telling the boys about last night? Yeah, I heard about it, growled Lee. You don't expect me to latch on to the fool's talk like that, do you? The Bill said he wasn't fooling. Said the gold wasn't more than half a mile over yonder, and asked if the boss man wanted to see it. Of course I don't, yelled Lee. I'm paying you to hunt horses, not for gold. Now get. You have another hour before dark. Get, Indian. Get going. I like stories firsthand, so that's why I go out and find them myself. Now, I'm going to finish telling you this adventure in just a minute, but right now I want to take just a minute to tell you, Buckaroo, something firsthand. I'm talking about McKay's shirt, and no fool when I say I think the K shirts are pretty terrific. That's coming straight from the feed bag, you might say, because I wear the K shirt myself. And doggone it, I really like them because they're kind of easygoing and comfortable. You just pull them on, no buttons or collars to fuss with. And your mom's going to like the K shirts, too, because it's easy to wash and doesn't need to be ironed unless she really wants to. The K-shirt itself is kind of like desert sand, with a big red Diamond K brand on the front and tars. And I've got our pictures there saying howdy to you. Well, there's the K-shirt story. If you figure you want one like I were and like all the kids are getting, just send your name and address to K-shirt in care of this station. Be sure to write what size you want, size 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 12. And send along a dollar bill for the fellow that makes the K-shirt, so he'll make them special for you. Now back to the story. Well, Buckaroos, a couple of days later, when the outfit was in Dryden, Bill hopped a slow freight for San Antone to see a fellow called Locke Campbell, a conductor on the San Antone-Sanderson run and a man supposed to know something about gold mining. Locke had the sample essayed while Seminole Bill was hightailing it back to the Reagan outfit. A few days later, sort of bashful-like, Bill sidled up to Lee Reagan with a letter in his hand. What do you have there, he chuckled. Lee was in a better mood. Got a mash note from your sweetheart, Seminole? Want me to read it for you? Yeah, boss man, grinned Seminole. I can read reading, but it's powerful hard for me to read writing. So Lee Reagan took the letter, and I'd have been reading a short time when he started laughing. Looks like old Locke Campbell's playing a joke on you, Seminole. Listen to this. He says the gold ore sample essays at $80,000 to the ton. And Lee began to laugh so much he could hardly talk. Why, that's just like essaying $50 gold pieces. Sometime later, Lee Reagan chanced to run into old Locke Campbell on his way to a cattleman's convention. When Locke told him about the gold, Lee was fit to be hogtied. Holy cow, he shrieked. You mean that was on the level? Why, I can go to that place in half an hour's time after crossing the river. Why, I can go right to the hill where the Indian pointed the blame thing out. Why, Locke, tell that engineer to start firing his old steam box. I'll give him $500 if he has the time in the San Antone. Well, that old engine almost split a boiler, and when the train overshot the station at San Antone, Lee Reagan was off first, hightailing it to the telegraph office, wiring his brothers to meet him with Seminole Bill and a pack train at Dryden. But it was too late. Seminole had stolen a horse and taken off for parts unknown. And then started one of the biggest searches for Seminole Bill and the mine that's ever taken place in the West. They advertised about every paper there was, and rumors were flying thick and fast about Seminole Bill being seen in this place and that, mostly at the same time. Folks came from all parts of the West to turn over every rock and ball and sagebrush looking for that gold. They trailed Seminole Bill down into Mexico, where Bill's mother told of the rocks he had with him. But Seminole was gone. Where, she didn't know. One fellow swore that Seminole used to come into Monterey, Mexico every 3 months with a load of gold. And someone else was willing to bet a stack of poker chips that Bill joined the army and was killed in the Philippines. In the meantime, old Locke Campbell was stalking the Big Bend country with lost burros and miners. One day, a fellow named John Finke, working for Campbell, came staggering into the border ranch. He was carrying an old rusty rifle and his face was all lit up, sort of crazy-like. I found it. I found it, he kept saying. I found the mine. I found his skeleton. It was Seminole Bill. With this old rifle beside him, and not more than 100 yards away was the mine. We have to get back there right away. Get some of the boys. Bring plenty of shooting irons. But Borland's men were all out in the range, and the cattle were dying of drought, so Borland decided to wait till morning. But by then, Pinky's face was so swollen that they couldn't talk, and they had to take him to Sanderson to the dock. Now, the more Pinky got to thinking about the gold, the more he thought the gold was his, so he sneaked out of the hospital and got to El Paso. Then his taste for hard liquor got the best of him. The higher Finke got, the more he talked. In fact, before he was through, the barkeep gave the whole saloon to Finke. Guess he figured there's more money in lost mine hunting than passing out bourbon. Anyway, it was a bad move. Before Finke could tell him where the mine was, Finke up and died. Of course, there were those who thought Finke might have been faking. That is, until a couple of horse thieves told her running into Finke just after he had discovered the mine. He thought they were going to kill him and offered to show them where the gold was. But the rurales, or Mexican rangers, were so hot on their trail, they had to hightail it for cover. That's why Finke told old Borland they'd need plenty of shooting irons. One of the rustlers made a map, so they said, but high water and revolutions kept them from getting back. Now then, about 1918, Charlie Stillwell, then living in California, got a letter from his brother Will, who was a Texas Ranger. Will claimed he'd find the mine, and the samples would be spent, just the way you picked them up. He said the location corresponded to the description given by Seminole Bill, and urged his brother to hurry back to Texas. But Will was killed in a fight with an outlaw, and his secret died with him. Charlie Stillwell spent years looking for Seminole Bill's fabulous mine, but it's still there, just waiting to be found. I've studied the territory from the air, flying so low the tumbleweeds bounce higher than the plane. I've explored the canyons on foot, seen the landmarks described by Seminole Bill. The rocks crowding each other so closely it would break a horse's leg to try to ride through. Seminole Bill's lost mine has licked everyone so far. But maybe one of you buckaroos will find it someday.
Say, Ken, that was really a colossal story, and coming from your part of the country, I know you knew every single feature and fact in it. And buckaroos, don't forget, if you're looking for adventure, you'll find loads of it in Ken Maynard's personalized Diamond K record album. Two complete stories of the Wild West on two big 8-inch pure vinylite unbreakable records. You know, vinylite is expensive material, and it makes a fine, flexible, colored record that you can't break, and you can play them over and over and over again. But the Diamond K record album for you buckaroos isn't expensive. It's an amazing $1 for the two complete stories in a colorful album with pictures of Ken and Tarzan on the front and on the records. And we'd like to say, too, that these stories are not any of the stories you've heard on the air. They're special stories for you buckaroos. Now, the records are standard 78 RPM speed for the regular kind of record player. And don't forget, Ken makes these stories just for you, and he'll call you by name right on the record. You'll hear him say,
"Hello, Jason, this is Ken Maynard with a story just for you."
Yes, sir, Ken will call you by name, whatever your name is. And boy, you'll be the talk of the neighborhood. So if you want real adventure, send your name and address and a dollar bill to Records in care of this station. Why, it's as easy as rolling down a hill. So write today. Now, once again, here's Ken.
Well, folks, it's time to bring our story roundup to a close. This is Ken Maynard and Tarzan. Closing up the tack room at the Diamond K Ranch till I see you next time, when I'll tell you the story of gold at Fort Ramirez. We'll be looking for you. And in the meantime, get your $1 bills in the mail now for some real Western fun. So long.
You've been listening to Tales from the Diamond K, stories of adventure told by Ken Maynard, internationally famous cowboy, stunt rider, and Hollywood's champion of Western stars. Tales from the Diamond K was produced and transcribed in Hollywood.